Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The pitch to Murphy. Swinging a line shot fair. Past the lunging Freddie Freeman down the left field line into the corner. Depot around third scores. Harper rounding third, coming home as Kemp is just now up with it out of the left field corner. Harper scores standing as the throw goes to third. Murphy stands at second with his 29th double of the year to take over the National League lead in two base hits. RBI 63 and 64. And the Nationals have plated three runs now here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
That's the voice of Charlie Slows. We do that because Charlie Slows joins us every Tuesday. He's presented by the five-star cooling experts at Crop Metcalf, a proud partner of the Washington Nationals. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com to schedule your appointment today. It's Grant Danny here on The Fan, and we are joined, of course, by Charlie Slows for his weekly spot. No Grant, just Danny, but we'll do it anyway. Charlie, how are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Good, my friend.
A little R&R in.
Yeah.
Recharge the battery a little bit.
What are you going to do? What are you doing here over the break? You playing a little golf like your partner, Jags, or is it just a lot of couch time?
A little beach time, a little couch time, a little dinner time. Just not a work time.
Yeah, very good. It is a grind. You guys do it every night. Let's jump to this club here at this first half point. I mean, Charlie, you've been doing this for a while. You remember the days when the Nats had to have an all-star because they were a major league team, but only by the bare minimum of definition. And it was like a Matt Capps or Dimitri Young or something like that. Now, star power abound. Four starters in this game when you think of Murphy, Zimmerman, Scherzer, and Harper, and Steven Strasburg goes as well. Way more star power now. Just reflect on that given the days we were, say, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, talking about Ryan Zimmerman, the first time he went in 2009, he was the lone Nationals All-Star representative. So, I mean, that's pretty much how it was until recent years and really until the last couple of years when you start seeing the Nationals position players getting voted in. At first, it was just Harper, and then Murphy just missed last year to win the vote at second base, and then he wins it this year, and then Zim, with his tremendous start to the year in first half, wins the first base vote. So, I mean, that shows you about the star power and the not only the fans in the nation's capital and surrounding areas that voted for them, but you don't win the vote just by your fans alone. You win it because everybody all over the country that follows baseball around the world really is voting for you based on your performance. And, you know, in a lot of years becomes a popularity contest. We've seen guys who are not having good years, but were on the ballot and played for winning teams and have had longstanding great careers that'll get voted in no matter what, or just because of the team that they're on, popularity, that kind of thing. You know, I think this is all legit. I mean, all three guys deserve to be there. When you look at the batting race in the National League, 1, 2, and 3 right now, it's Murphy, Zimmerman, Harper. And you don't see that very often at any time from any team at any part of any year.
No, it's amazing. And it really is. Charlie Slows with us for his weekly spot on Tuesdays at 12:45. Charlie, you're around this club on a daily basis. I get over there whenever I can and try to talk to guys and get kind of the pulse. But you're there every single day. This group is they're out to a huge lead. 9.5 games in the division. And, you know, the path looks pretty clear for them to win this division, get into the playoffs, etc. The other side of that is they've got 14 blown saves, and they're tied with the Phillies for some of the worst in the National League. That's not just in the ninth inning. That's you have a lead, and the bullpen kind of relinquishes it at certain points. What's kind of the thought process, the mood of some of these guys? There's kind of this black cloud hanging over them because they all sort of know this is great right now, but down the line when we really need it, we don't have the answer just yet in the bullpen. What are guys feeling about that?
You know, they really don't talk about it much. I know they don't like to see those leads slip away, but, you know, they're not going to stand there and throw their teammates under the bus. That's just not the way it works. You know, you got to rally behind the guys. It's not for lack of effort. You know, I looked at Matt Albers when he hit recently in the Cubs series, gave up the 2-run homer that tied the game in the ninth inning. And, you know, they take it really, really hard. You know, when they talk about a reliever, a late inning guy's got to be able to bounce back. That can't be a pleasant 10, 12, 16, 24 hours until that next game begins, or even longer if it takes till the next time that they pitch and have some success. I mean, when you talk about it, you know, a position player, if he strikes out with the bases loaded, the chance, he's going to get another chance in that spot long before, you know, a reliever gets to redeem for something that happens the way it does in the ninth inning. You know, unless you're that guy who is the closer that gets those repeated chances. Right now, you know, they're piecing it together. They're playing matchups, who's fresh, who's available. It's pretty tough because, you know, you're getting that very infrequent chance to get those big outs at the end of a game and hope that you're successful and get another chance.
Charlie, Zim, you mentioned an all-star, well-deserved, an incredible first half. Really buoyed by that first month plus where he was hitting 420 with 11 homers. You know, those numbers, obviously, that's video game stuff. It's not realistic to sustain that over the course of a year. It would have been like 78 homers, a 420 average, and 210 RBIs or something absurd. So Zim's pace has slowed a little bit, but the power numbers have dipped some. How much of what he's doing right now, in your mind, more aggressive, swinging earlier in counts, et cetera, is sustainable? Again, I'm not saying hitting 330 to end the year, but how much of his presence in the lineup do you think is going to be here in September and October?
Well, you hope that it stays reasonably close to what it's been as he bats between the two left-handed hitters, Harper and Murphy. That gives you a tremendous 3-4-5 or 2-3-4, however you bat them in your lineup. Most times it's 3-4-5. Yeah, it's unrealistic to think and Sims always been a streaky hitter in his career. The home runs will come in bunches. The extra base hits will come in bunches. And, of late in the last month, you know, he's cooled off a bit. Maybe he's swinging a few more pitches that aren't strikes where he laid off all those and really swung at pitches that he could really handle. He hasn't hit a home run. I think that since the two-homer game against R.I. Dickey for the Braves in mid-June, so this is as long as he's gone to this point in the year, you know, probably there's a little – you know, I don't think they would tell you there's a fatigue, but there's a fatigue factor at this point. And even though he's involved in the All-Star game and playing in the game and what went on yesterday with the press conferences and the batting practice and then watching the home run derby, it still is a chance to relax from the daily grind of what you're going through because there'll be nothing tomorrow and nothing Thursday, and the team will, you know, rejoin again on Friday in Cincinnati. So, you know, it's as much a mental break as it is a physical break from everything he's done. But I think he worked so hard physically in preparing for this season and changing his routine that I think he'll be able to sustain a lot of what you've seen.
And I want to ask you also kind of the same question here about Bryce. Now, he's the hits are still coming. I mean, they're coming in bunches. He's hitting 430 and change here in the month of July through eight ball games, so no complaints there. He's getting on base. The OPS numbers are still excellent. But, again, kind of a power drought for him. I know he had the two-homer game the other day, but I think you're looking at, what is it, five homers combined between July and June, whereas he had nine in April, kind of the same way that Zim has. Do you think it's still kind of fatigue, or is it just one of those streaky things that he'll have another streak in the other direction coming soon?
I think there'll be more, you know, streak in the other direction. I think all home run hitters come in bunches. I think a lot of it comes to pitches that you start to see and then pitches you've hit, and then the reports are out, like, don't pitch them there. Keep the ball away from them. You know, spot the ball in occasionally, but basically, you know, stay away because anything in the zone, you had Harper and Zimmerman and Murphy all crushing at the same time. And so, you know, that's the thing. You know, two or three guys were really hot at once. And then you look at it, okay, they cool off, and now Rendon's really hot. And he finished the first half, or however it is, 88, 89 games now. He's over 300. He's getting close to where they all are in RBIs and home runs after virtually not doing much of anything in terms of driving in runs in the month of April. So, I mean, his slump was out of the gate where he didn't drive in any runs or hit home runs until really the last week of April in that 10 RBI game, 6-8 game against the Mets. And, you know, he's hit consistently ever since. So, you know, it's a game of streaks and peaks and valleys, and they'll all tell you that. And you hope that, you know, when you get to the end of the season, that you have a few guys hot in the postseason because, you know, we've all seen that 4 or 5 days off before the playoffs start can cool guys off. And, you know, the games are different then. Runs are harder to come by, and, you know, manufacturing runs may be more important than hitting home runs when you get to the postseason.
Charlie, always fun. Enjoy the well-deserved R&R, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Danny. You too.
Thank you, pal. There he goes. Charlie Slows every night on 106.7 The Van with Dave Jagler. Wanted to ask him one more thing about Tanner Roark, but we're out of time. That's what happens. We're obligated to be on time here. I want to know about Bryce Harper. And I got a Bryce Harper question for you guys. I want Dar to weigh in, Thommy to weigh in too. You guys will weigh in as well at 800-636-1067. It's a Harper question. It's kind of based on Barry Svrluga's column the other day. The baseball world is all stopped, and they're looking at what's going on in Miami, and Bryce is kind of at the center of it. We've seen superstars before have this kind of end clock where free agency is coming. I want to know, and we'll do this at 102 here on The Fan. I want to know, how is Bryce Harper handling his impending free agency? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.